Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that will help you change how you work, not who you are. This is where we talk honestly about thinking clearly, making better decisions, and building a business that actually feels good to run without hustle, hype, or pretending everything's fine. I'm Libby Langley, business coach, author, optimist, realist, and self-employed since 2011. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome to another episode of Messy Business. I'm Libby Langley, and I'm going to talk to you today about a version of success that I walked away from. Because in business, we're taught that success should look like constant forward progress, like grow the thing, optimize the thing, scale the thing. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward what we're told. And the thing is that when that starts happening, people start congratulating you. But what about the other side of it? The thing that we don't talk about all that much, that sometimes the business that looks successful on paper becomes something you don't actually want to run. You know, people assume that your business is working. If your business is working, then everything must be great. Your revenue comes in, your clients are there, the opportunities are appearing. But sometimes that business that looks really impressive from the outside is the one that becomes the hardest to live with, right? So I'm going to talk about that and my experience with that, and also a million clients' experiences along the same route. But if you've listened to episode one, oh my God, what are we now, 182? If you've listened to episode one of this podcast, you will know some of my story. And now I kind of want to really update that as to what's been going on in the 3.5 years since that episode first came out. I talk, you know, I'm relatively honest and straightforward in this podcast, and I'm happy to share vulnerabilities and mistakes I've made and learnings and all of that. But I think that there is a whole angle that we don't talk about enough. And certainly in the last 6 months, if not year, I've been doing some serious questioning of self. And I want to share all that with you because success, you know, what you want from success, what success means to you is really, really important. So years and years ago, when I first started my business in 2011, 15 years ago this year, I did what everybody does when they first start. I followed what somebody else told me because I didn't know any different. Right, I went on an HMRC course about business finances, which was actually really interesting. And I'd recently just done my MBA finance, level 5 finance exams. Oh my God. So, you know, profit and loss and all the numbers and all that stuff, was super comfortable for me. And I knew about having a team. I knew about being a manager, also various management qualifications. And I'd run a really big team in my job. So that was a really very comfortable structure to me. So when I joined an entrepreneurial community and was kind of told, guided to build a team, grow a team, build a £1 million business, I was like, oh hell yeah, this makes sense to me. This is what I know, right? And I remember going on a weekend in Warwick. I'd been in business for 18 months, I think. Or 6 months. Anyway, not long. And this £1 million business weekend. And it was really good. And I met some incredible people and I felt really inspired. And that was when I realized that I wanted something bigger and different from the life that I had. Ah, oh, it's horrible because, you know, it signaled the demise of my then marriage. But, and also a lot of changes to, I think, to who I was, perhaps. I felt like I'd been given this incredible opportunity by starting my business to be anybody I wanted to be. And oh my God, I wanted to be the shiny, successful version of me at all costs. And that was it. And I was very good at it. And I was hell-bent on being this success, right? And somebody who I knew, who I'd actually gone to school with, who ended up, we ended up having offices next door to each other in the place where we had an office. And he said to me that he had never, he was very successful in his business, lots of international clients and all this stuff. And he said to me, he'd never met anyone more determined or focused than me. And I was like, hell yeah, watch this girl go. And it was just a wild ride. I had so many incredible opportunities. I was involved in lots of things. I had a team, I had this office, and then I had a bigger office. And it was just brilliant. You know, that we were making a lot of money. And we were very successful. And I was going off to international conferences and really met my people, really met my kind of group. And I was just absolutely stunned that it had taken me until, how old was I when I started my business? I don't know, 30-something, late 30s, to kind of discover this world that existed. And I was absolutely on fire. However, after not that many years, 3 years or so of having this structure. So I guess I'd been in business for 4 or 5 years by then. It was exhausting. It was utterly exhausting because it was full on ADHD energy the whole time. And I didn't get diagnosed until 3 years ago, but you know, I'm autistic ADHD. Autism is the first one. And so I was exhausted a lot of the time, but I was in the office, you know, first in the office, last out of the office, all of that, doing the things, going to the things. And then particularly after I'd separated and got divorced, I spent like just the whole weekends and I didn't talk to anybody and just slept a lot of the time. And I was kind of quite lonely and probably quite unwell, you look back now, right? But I was doing loads of training. I was doing loads of consultancy. We managed loads of people's social media accounts. It was a social media agency that I'd built back then along with my business consultancy. And yeah, really great reputation, tons of clients, well-respected, lots of exciting opportunities. But I was not happy. I realised that I was not happy. And I look back now and I see that absolutely I was burnt out. You know, you can only recognise this as you're older and wiser, I think. But the business didn't suit me at all. And it wasn't that I wasn't having fun. I mean, oh my God, we had so much fun. It was just hilarious. It was that I'd built a business that needed me to generate income to serve all the things that we had, the staff, the office, the trips, the bloody sofas in the gifts, you know, all the stuff. We did all the things and it was great, but it was maintaining it was mentally exhausting. And I had to bring in thousands and thousands and thousands each month in order to just fund the business, essentially. And it got to the point where I'm just like, do you know what? This is, I left a management job. I don't want to manage another management job. And yet I've created this for myself. So I took the decision in 2015 to close that business down. I closed all the social media management clients. I think we had about 30 or 40. We had loads. I made my staff redundant. I kept one on part-time, very part-time for, I think, a year, I think, after that, because she was doing something else and it worked us and we worked remotely. And that worked very well. But it was awful. It was really, really difficult decision. But I needed to free myself from this successful business that I'd created that just absolutely didn't suit me. And I think as well, going through the life stuff that we all go through, you know, I got divorced, I bought my ex out and that was incredibly expensive. And my living costs we'd gone from two salaries to my one salary that was then increased because of the extra mortgage and all this. And it was, I needed much more money myself in order to keep the roof over my head. And the business wasn't set up like that, if that makes sense. The profit margins kind of weren't there because of all the other things. So by making the staff redundant, which is awful, giving up the office, moving back home, my profit margin, I can't remember now, but increased 100-fold probably. And I kept all the things that I did, which was the consultancy and the training and the business sort outs that I did for people. And I never have looked at that as a failure. I have always looked at it as a brave, bold, honesty move. And I'm still in touch with the people who worked for me. That's I'm very grateful for that we kind of all handled it with dignity and respect. And there's no hard feelings there at all. And also, it's a long year, 11 years ago now. It's a long time ago. So as I fast forward to more recent years, you know, you'd think you kind of get it sussed when you've made that big decision. But the world has changed and the online world has changed particularly. But the way of doing business has changed. It's considerably more crowded than it was, particularly the online space. The things that were a novelty or new and exciting back then, such as social media. I mean, it's so saturated as a world. And I haven't focused on social media for a long, long time now. But it's what my MBA is about social media marketing strategy. So, you know, marketing is kind of my thing. It's kind of a lot of my background. But it has changed. And I think the online business world now, it has its own idea of what success should look like. And you see this everywhere, right? You build a program, you build a signature program, you build a high ticket program, and you scale a program. And it's all about this very specific business model that people point to as a smart way to run a business. And so, of course, I've done this, right? There is hardly a business model that I haven't tried. So I've built programs, I've done one-off courses, I've done two-year-long programs, I've done six-month programs, I've done completely remote programs, I've done in-person programs, I've done online downloadable, buy-off-the-shelf programs, courses, and I've done high-touch, high-ticket stuff. And I've done all of those, right? I can tell you about all the tech that you would need for any of them and also what they kind of actually feel like to run. And I think that's the big thing that's missing, right? On paper, yeah, sure, brilliant idea. But how does it feel? And I'm not a particularly woo person at all. I'm autistic. I'm very pragmatic. I love a spreadsheet. But how you, honestly, that's been the best thing. Looking at how I feel or listening to how I feel about stuff has been the thing that's changed my business and my life immeasurably. And so I do advise you to do that. I've also joined spent thousands joining programs. It feels like I've joined thousands, but I haven't. You know, I've been in lots of other people's programs, and I think I've spent a lot of time chasing the Holy Grail. You know, I had all this success, and I say success, right, in inverted commas, but I had all this success. Why can't I replicate it now? And it's nonsense that, right? It doesn't make any sense because it's not what I want. I want a high profit margin. I don't want a business that's expensive to run. I don't want a business with a million moving parts. So why try and then just recreate that? It makes no sense. So, but joining other people's programs has been my Achilles heel, to be honest. I've spent, I don't even want to add it up, but too much money on thinking that this will be the thing that fixes me. And what I've done, certainly in the last year, is think, well, maybe I don't need fixing. Maybe I am not the problem. And this is absolutely what I've always helped people with. You know, you're not the problem. Of course you're not the problem. You might need to learn a few more skills to do the thing, but probably not. You just need a bit of confidence and conviction in yourself. And that was kind of, that's been when I've really started to feel like I belong. And it's, I belong in myself and also I belong in my place in the world. Where that is very different to where it was 10 or 15 years ago, but I am different to how I was 10 or 15 years ago as well. So that kind of, it kind of makes sense that there is this change and there shouldn't ever be any blame or shame around that at all. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am certainly considerably more tired than I was 15 years ago. And I was tired then. You know, the doctor always says to me, oh, I'm tired all the time, you know, T-A-T-T. I'm like, yes. Well, I think we all know now it's because I'm neurodivergent and my brain is very, very busy and I find my brain exhausting. So I have to structure my life and business in a way that won't cause me to burn out and just die. So at some point, and this is a really, really uncomfortable realization, but at some point I realized that I don't actually like running programs. Short, sharp things, fine. Turn up and teach, great. Come in, sort your business out, strategy, I'll help you. Here's some ideas, but you do the work. Amazing. Yeah. The structure of a programmer, the kind of, you know, hand-holding emotional support, I don't like it. I don't like holding space for people. And I think, I don't know, my gorgeous friend Jackie Hickory, EFT coach, Googler, talked about her a lot. She would say that it's because I'm an empath and I absorb people's feelings and emotions. And I think that perhaps that is true. But I also think that I feel responsible often for people I work with, and I don't want to feel responsible. You started your business. It's your responsibility. I will absolutely help you to make it better and to understand yourself better in it and to reduce the moving parts and to make it so simple that it's an utter dream to run. But it's your business, right? And that kind of, I think that's kind of the difference, and that's something that I've realized. I will be wholly empathetic with it because I've been through whatever you're going through. But I like to come and sort stuff out. I like to solve the problems. I like to come in and do a business sort out, and you know, we'll catch up a month later and I'll see what you've done. I don't want to be there every step of the way, and that feels like I feel uncomfortable saying that out loud. And yes, I'm choosing my podcast to say it. So, hello. You should see how I'm sitting. I'm like, got my hands clenched and I feel really uncomfortable. But it doesn't, saying it is okay because there is a place for that too. It doesn't have to be within a high ticket program, right? It can be one day, 2 months. It can be all of those things. And that it feels a bit uncomfortable and it feels a bit rebellious, right? Because the internet tells you that programs are a smart way to run the business, and they can be, but they don't have to be. So there's a thing called the belonging trap that I like to say, you know, it's something I see with a lot of business owners, and people end up building businesses that help them belong in their industry. And I've been guilty of this, right? Even though I am one of the foremothers in this industry. I've been running online courses since, oh my goodness, when did I run the first one? Like before I even started my business. So 2010, maybe? It's not the way it has to be. You know, you don't have to have a business that you don't enjoy. You shouldn't have a business that you don't enjoy, right? You see people creating programs that they don't enjoy running, and it just takes so much strength and effort to market these things, and that kills you, right? And the offers that maybe you don't love delivering anymore, but they make money. Yeah, been there, done that. Making money is not the be-all and end-all of everything at all. You know, it's a very sort of bro way of thinking about things. But changing the world in a small way and making one person happy and more successful, then another person happy and successful, and then another person happy and successful. It's really powerful that you don't have to have anything that will scale. It's okay to do things in the way that you want to. You know, there isn't a one-size-fits-all delivery model. And just because that's what the industry celebrates doesn't mean it's right for you. And it certainly isn't right for me at all. So over the last year or two or whatever, I've been asking a much more honest question of myself, I think. You know, not what's the smartest business model, but because I could build one of those overnight, right? But what kind of business actually suits me? And it's kind of a bit weird and a bit awkward, you know, but understanding the way your brain works and the way you like working with clients, the place I want to live in, and that's the pace I want to work at. I don't think I have the capacity anymore to do 15-hour days, and more. I don't want to, you know. I don't, and that's all okay, right? But you have to admit all this stuff to yourself of what you want and need from your business, or you're never going to get it, right? Because somebody will say something on Instagram and you'll think, well, I can do that. And you'll follow them and then you'll get sucked in and you'll buy something from them and you'll be like, oh, hello, I don't even recognize this world that I'm in anymore. And I think answering the question, you know, what kind of business actually suits me, it means letting go of things that look perfectly sensible from the outside. Sometimes even things that were working. But just because you can doesn't mean you should, right? That's something I want you to just say over and over again to yourself. And I think one of the biggest traps in business is assuming that there's one correct structure. But the right structure is the one that works for you running the business, for me running the business. It's not the one that the internet celebrates. It's not the one that your peers are building. And it's not the one that looks impressive on social media. Absolutely is not that one, right? It's the one that lets you run your business without ever resenting it. And it's not to say that every day is going to be amazing, right? Because there's still some rubbish stuff that we have to do, or stuff that's a bit boring, or stuff that, oh, I don't feel like it today. I just want to stay in bed. That's all fine too. And do you know why that's fine? Because it's human. It is a human trait. And as humans, as women, as, you know, as people, we don't need to diminish any of that, right? We can be who we want to be. And as weird and as wonderful as that looks in the sort of traditional patriarchal 9-to-5 structure, whatever, who gives a shit, right? As long as you're making the money that you want and need to make and you're happy, that's really the only measure of success that there should be. So there's a few things that I understand now. And, you know, I'm cross with myself that I have to keep going through this process. But self-discovery is a long process and it does change over time and it does change depending on your personal circumstances. And there is an element of privilege involved in it, and I acknowledge that, right? You know, I have a gorgeous husband who supports me in everything that I do, and we downsized our house last year, and so that's changed our financial responsibilities, which is ace. So it does free up more choice for me. And that is a position of privilege. I understand that. Not everybody's in the same boat there. But it doesn't mean, unfortunately, that I can retire and just sit around, I don't know, whatever, pottering or mooching all day. But it does give me a bit more headspace, which is largely often consumed with the renovations on the house, but still. But I think what it's done is it's enabled me to think, what do I actually want for this next phase of my life? And it is not anything that's gone before at all. And yet it is, because there are elements of my business that I have always, always loved. I have always loved sessions with business owners who come with problems and I help them solve them. Always loved it. And I know I'm exceptionally good at it. I have always loved going in, you know, spending time with business owners and doing a complete sort out and just being like the Stacey Solomon of the business world, or the Alex Polizzi of the business world, which is business, but the hotel world, of the small business world, and just looking at the finances, because they tell a big picture. They really, really do. And looking at your happiness and looking at the joy and looking at the fun and looking at the energy levels and looking at the enthusiasm and looking at the, what the hell is all this stuff that you've created? Why are you spending your time on this? You know, all of that, I love all of that. That's been an element of everything that I've ever done. What has been wrong for me has been the packaging around it, right? So if I stick to the core bits of what I'm exceptionally good at, what I'm, you know, trained to do, I suppose, and what I've always made massive results to people, life-changing results to people, then ta-da, perfect business model. It's when you start adding all the other stuff in or trying to fancy it up or come up with a really sexy title or my $27 download around it. And it's like, huh? No, you don't need to do that. So it's like delayering an onion. And eventually you get to like the sweet bits inside, and it might be smaller, but it's better. Yeah. It's the kind of stuff people pickle and put in jars. So businesses don't become difficult because people aren't capable enough. You know, you don't necessarily need to keep learning and learning and learning and learning. Libby, you don't need to. You know, you could do that for interest's sake. You don't have to monetize it all. But businesses become difficult because the structure drifts. Absolutely. You know, offers will multiply, delivery becomes messy, new ideas get layered on top of old ones until the business becomes harder and harder to run. And the solution isn't something new. I can pretty much guarantee that. It's stepping back and asking whether the structure actually fits you, which is what I've done. So over the years, I've rebuilt my business more than once. And it's very rarely because things aren't working, right? I'm quite good at making things successful. I haven't been very good about making them successful for me. But, you know, the reason that is because I've been noticing that things have stopped fitting me. And I think that's a big, massive one. I kind of listen to myself sometimes, and that works. So recently I've stepped away from various structures that are apparently the smart way to do things, but I say they're not. And I know from the outside that can sometimes look really confusing or inconsistent. And I know that that's an issue I have to overcome and deal with in terms of how the world sees me. But, you know, as a regular listener to this podcast, you'll know that my message has always been exactly the same. It's always been consistent. And so the truth is that success in business isn't about building the most impressive thing. It's about keeping your message clear, doing what you believe in, and building something that actually works for you running it. And sometimes the most important moment in business is when you realize that this worked before, but it doesn't work for me anymore. And I'm going to do what I goddamn like. So there you are. That's why I've walked away from that particular version of success. And I'm very glad that you're here for chapter 37 of Libby in Business. And if you need me to sort your business out, you know where I am. Lots of love, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Messy Business. If this episode made things feel a little clearer, come and tell me. I'm over on Instagram at Libby Langley. Until next time, remember, you can change how you work without needing to change who you are.